Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, and we'll begin reading in verse number 22. It is good to see all of you here today. Thank you for coming. Exodus chapter 15, due to the weather and all of that kind of thing, I don't think it's going to do very much. It's going to be not going to be cold enough to do very much, and so we'll have service tonight at 6 o'clock. And won't you come on out and be with us? And Exodus chapter number 15. Look at verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. Now, these were Baptist people. And you say, how do you know that? Well, verse 24 will tell you that the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree.
Amen.
Which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. There he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then verse 27 says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Now here's what I want you to notice before we pray. Verse 22, they had no water. Then verse 23, they come up on bitter water. And then in verse 25, they had sweet water. And then in verse 27, they had wells of water. Now, how do you go from no water to bitter water to sweet water to a bunch of water? Well, the way you do that is, there's a tree involved. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I better pray. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited on my own preaching. Lord, you help us now. Help me not to get ahead of myself, because, Lord, I'm wanting to get to the tree. And, Lord, I want to tell the people about the tree. Lord, I just thank you for what's in this book. And I pray that you'd help us now this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Exodus chapter 14, which is one chapter before what we just read, the nation of Israel come out of the land of Egypt. And this is what God said. God said, and you know the story, you've heard me preach on it 100 times. You put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And when I come through there, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they're in Egyptian bondage. And boy, I'm telling you what, thank the Lord for the lamb. It was a slain lamb. It was a special lamb. It was a spotless lamb. It was a sacrificial lamb. It was a substitutional lamb. It was a sprinkled lamb. It was a show enough lamb. Hallelujah. The blood was applied on the doorpost, and God came through that night. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's why the nation of Israel still celebrates Passover. Exodus 14, where they come through the land, and then they come through there. Thank the Lord for the blood. Thank the Lord that we're saved by the blood.
Amen.
But then after the blood, they come through, they're delivered, they're free to go anywhere they want to. Then they come upon a Red Sea. Red Sea, and God says, told Moses, said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. You know the story. And then in chapter 15, verse 1, they're shouting. Got the tambourines out. They're praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We done killed all the Egyptians. We're happy. We're having count meeting. We're praising the Lord. Everybody's happy. Not like some of you are today, but they were happy. I mean, they were rejoicing. I mean, they were singing songs. And people were jumping off the chandeliers. We're free. We're free. We're free indeed. Boy, they was happy. I'm going to need a little more help from y'all than what I'm getting. But what happens is, this is a picture of the Christian life. Some of you thought when you got saved, everything was going to be hunky-dory. You thought you wasn't going to have a Red Sea. You thought you wasn't going to have a wilderness experience. But coming through the blood and coming through the Red Sea, they're all happy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All of a sudden, they go into a wilderness and they find no water there. You ever been dry, thirsty, looking for something? Yeah, you're saved. You ain't lost your salvation. You can't do that. You didn't have anything to do to get it. So the Lord gave it to you, so you can't lose something. He gave it to you. And so it's not a matter of salvation. The blood took care of salvation. But I'm still finding myself in the middle of a wilderness. And let me just tell you here this morning, listen, everybody in this room, you're either in a wilderness, you're coming out of a wilderness, or you're fixing to go into one. All the time. The Bible says in Job 5, verse 7, says a man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. I mean, I'm telling you, trouble comes. Aren't you glad for this motivational message? Trouble's coming your way. But when trouble comes your way, that just means one thing. You are a card-carrying member of the human race. And like the great theologian Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're getting until you bite into it. But just because you're going through a wilderness, just because you're going through a dark place, just because you're going through a hard place, does not mean you're not saved. That just means that, listen, we're going through trials and troubles. Everybody does it. Just get ready. Buckle down. How you respond to being in a wilderness determines how long you'll stay there. I'm just here to tell you, even in the wilderness, God is still good. God can prepare a table in the wilderness. The nation of Israel found grace in the wilderness. They found mercy in the wilderness. They found justice in the wilderness. They found victory in the wilderness. I see a journey. A journey. Everybody in here is on a journey. If you're saved, you're on a journey. We're on a journey to a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. But between here and there, going to be some wildernesses. You might as well get ready for them. I mean, you might as well get ready. Just buckle down, you fix, and go through some wildernesses. I mean, first of the year, I'm telling you, you're still going through some. Maybe you went through one the whole 2014. But, hey, look up. You can't be in one all the time. You might be out of it in 2015. But there's a journey in the wilderness. But then there's a jeopardy. The jeopardy is in verse 22. Watch. Look at this. Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out in the wilderness. Sure, they went 3 days. 3 solid days. Man, they ain't been saved long. They've been saved 3 days. I mean, surely we can bypass the wilderness longer than 3 days. 3 days ago, they just saw the Lord deliver them from the hand of the Egyptian. 3 days ago, they just saw God part the Red Sea. 3 days ago, they just got redeemed. 3 days ago, they got delivered. 3 days ago, don't stay in your seat, don't get excited. But 3 days ago, they just got delivered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 3 days later, I'm thirsty. There is no water. You ever been to that place? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It don't take long, and you're going to find a place. But I'm just here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they started out having camp meeting, and the camp meeting didn't last too long, lasted about 3 days. And now they are in the wilderness. They don't have any water. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, God will put you in the wilderness just to let you know that He is in control. He knows your wilderness address. He knows right where you're at. He hasn't lost your phone number. He knows exactly where you're at. And God is still in control, even in the wilderness.
Amen.
It's great to be saved. Great to be saved. But the wilderness is going to come. But then standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Standing in the shadows. You know, the Bible says, Isaiah 41, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none. Their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. They looked ahead. No water. Verse 22. None. Zilch. Nada. None. Zero. Somebody all of a sudden looked and said, oh, I see something glistening. I see the sun bouncing off. That could be some water right there. They take off. Now, it's all in there. It's in between the verses. They take off. And boy, they jump down on their hands and knees. They scoop them up. Some water. They put it in their mouth. They go, woo! Bitter water. They were all excited, had a smile on their face, everything. Oh, God's going to help us. And they got disappointed. You ever been disappointed? You ever been disappointed in people? You ever been disappointed? Just things just didn't go right. These children of Israel, I'm just giving you life experiences. Children of Israel, they say, hey, it's not supposed to be this way. We're out here, we've been delivered, we're saved, everything's supposed to be hunky-dory. Why is God doing us this way? We got bitter water. Things are not supposed to be this way. Waters they could not drink, and their smile turns to a frown. Their shout turns into sorrow. It's not supposed to be this way. If you live in the real world long enough, you're going to drink from some waters of disappointment. It's not supposed to go this way. Bitter waters are going to come. Disappointment's going to come. Families have to drink bitter waters. Churches have to drink bitter waters. Disappointing waters. It hurts when people let you down. It hurts when family lets you down. It hurts when you have a disappointment in family and friends and fellowship. But ladies and gentlemen, even though in your disappointed state, there's a God that lives down in me. I've never been disappointed in. I've never been hurt by Him. He has always been there for me. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'd still rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. No matter what you're going through, if you're saved, the devil can't take your salvation away from you. Let me say that again, because some of you still are dead as a 4 o'clock in the morning. If you're saved, the devil may whoop your brains out. He may knock your legs out from under you. But if you're saved, he cannot take your salvation away from you. It ain't what you're going through. It's what you're going to that matters. When they're in the wilderness, you know what God's trying to show them? Show them that they're living for self. They're walking by sight. And they were never satisfied. Now, folks, let me tell you, sometimes you go through a wilderness, God's trying to surface something in your life that you need to get rid of. Some, he'll surface things in the wilderness, and these people done suffer. They showed selfishness. They showed that they wasn't walking by faith, they was walking by sight. They showed they was never satisfied with nothing. And God says, I'm just trying to show y'all in the wilderness, trying to get that up. You know, they put that gold in a big pot and they put the fire to it. And that dross, it comes to the top. And they take something and they pull that dross off the top. Well, when God puts you through the wilderness, turns the heat up and the fire up, He's pulling all of the stuff He wants to get out of you to the top. And you're thinking the Lord don't like you. You're thinking the Lord hates you. But I'm telling you, He loves you. He knows right where you're at, and He's trying to bring something out of you so He can get it out of your way so you can get to the promised land.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, there is a journey and there is jeopardy, but I ain't even got to the message yet. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's a journey in the Christian life. There's jeopardy in the Christian life. But there's joy in the journey. Hey, there's joy in a journey. How do you go from no water to bitter water? How do you go from sweet water to wells of living water? How do you do that? God knows how to do it. How do you do it? There's a tree involved. There's a God who can take bitter water and make it better. God uses a tree to make it better. God uses a tree to make it sweet. All through the Bible, Adam and Eve hid under a tree. Elijah slept under a tree. Zacchaeus climbed up a tree. Jesus died on a tree. Saved people are planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water. One of these days, all of us saved people, we're going to gather around the tree and shout the victory for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Amen. I know the wilderness is real. Sorrow is real. Bitterness is real. But I can tell you, it's not all bitter. It's not all bad. It's not all sorrow. There's joy in the journey. There's a joy in the journey along the way. Now, some of you are not getting this, but you better be writing something down, because one of these days, you're going to need a little joy in your life. And you're going to look to something besides Dr. Phil and Cosmopolitan magazine. I knew they'd get Brother Ronnie up, yeah. Hallelujah. Hey, you're going to need something better than Oprah. You're going to have something better than all of that worldly answers to your earthly problems. I'm telling you, you better look into the book, the blessed pages, and find a little joy for the journey.
Yeah.
Amen. How does God bring joy in the journey in the wilderness? There's a tree involved. Makes the bitter sweet. Makes the bad good. How's God going to turn your bitter water into sweet water? On the hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It's the emblem of suffering and shame. On the hill. I think 1 Peter, you say, a tree. What in the world's a tree got to do with anything? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. They called the cross a tree. Jesus died on a tree. And so God told Moses, Moses, look at this Bible. I want you to just look. They come, verse 23, they got some bitter waters. They're spitting it out. They're going, oh, Moses, you're trying to kill us. The people started murmuring. They started calling deacons meetings. They started calling men's meetings. Yeah. They said, hey, we got to get rid of this preacher. This preacher's trying to kill us. Verse 25, and Moses, he cried unto the Lord. There's going to have to come a time and place in your life, and you're sitting in this room right now. There's going to come time and place. You may not want to come to this altar. There's going to come a time and place you'll have to find an altar somewhere. You may not have to come down here, but you're going to have to find some place. And you're going to have to get down on your hands and knees and say, Lord, I can't do this. I'm looking for water, and all I'm getting is bitter water. All I'm getting is water, and Lord, I know you saved me. I know you saved me. I'm on my way to heaven, but Lord, I can't do this by myself. I'm crying out unto you. Lord, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to control the situation. You're going to have to tell me what to do. Lord, would you please help me? God says, hey, Moses, I want you to turn around. And the Lord showed him a tree. Moses, the answer to your problem in this section, the answer to your problem in this section, the answer to your problem in this section, and the answer to your problem in this section is a tree.
Amen.
Now, listen, I'm just telling you, number one, it was a revealed tree. I'm about to get to the message. The Bible says the Lord showed him a tree. God made all the trees. He made all the trees. I ain't sure how long this tree was there. I ain't for sure if it's been there all along or God just put it there all of a sudden. But I'm just here to tell you, I think on one occasion, God called the angels around and said, hey, There's going to be a group of people coming through this wilderness, and I'm going to plant this tree right here, and I'm going to have the answer to their problem before they ever know they got a problem. I'm going to have the answer to their problem before they even realize they got a problem. Hallelujah. Angels, I'm going to plant this tree right here because there's a group of people coming through here that's going to have a problem, and I'm going to have the provision before they even realize they got a problem. I'm going to have the answer already there provided for them before they even know they got a problem. And somehow or another, God put a tree right where they needed it the most. And when they realize they got a problem, God says, Moses, everything's going to be all right. Settle down. Take a couple of aspirins and turn around. There's a tree right there. Listen, folks, some of you just need to calm down. Calm down and look. There's a tree. You just need to always look for the tree. And it was a revealed tree. People, listen, I'm telling you, God met their need before they even knew they had a need. He solved their problem before they even knew they had a problem. God had the provision before they ever knew they had a need. He had the answer to the problem before they ever knew the problem. And I'm telling you this, there was a Savior long before there was ever a sinner. Hallelujah. God said, Moses, that tree's been here all along. But I'm just telling you, Moses, you need to pause, settle down a second. And just look at that tree.
Yeah.
Folks, you know I was raised up in a preacher's home. I heard about the tree a million times.
Yeah.
I could have told you about the tree. But one day, I remember where God says, boy, and he removed the scales off of my eyes and showed me a tree, and I saw a tree that I've never seen before. I'm telling you, you're going to have to ask the Lord, Lord, show me, remove that off my eyes so I may see what you're doing in my life. And God says, Moses, just look at that tree right there. Moses said, boy, it looks like a pretty tree to me. God took it. I heard the thing. Listen, I'm telling you, the songwriter said this, at the cross where I first... How many times you sung that song? But I'm telling you, after you got saved, you sung it and you went, never sung it like that before. Because there's a difference after you experience the tree for yourself and it's been revealed to you. Hey, there's a tree there that can handle your problem, handle your situation. And I'm telling you what, hallelujah. Man, if I was in the right church this morning, they'd be pulling these chandeliers off. It was a revealed tree. But number two, it was a single tree.
Yeah.
Now you say, just one little tree. Not 10 trees, not 6 trees, not 100 trees. It was one single tree. The Bible says he showed him a tree. One tree. You say, but God made all the trees. Yeah, but this one's the only one that had the remedy. This one was the only one that could take the curse and turn it into a blessing. This is the only one that could turn bittersweet water or bitter water into sweet water. Listen, my friend, there ain't but one Lord. There ain't but one God. There ain't but one faith. There ain't but one way, one truth, and one life. His name is Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And his name is Jesus Christ. One single tree. Nobody but Jesus can set the captive free. You say, preacher, there was 3 crosses on that day. Yeah, but there wasn't but one that said it is finished.
Amen.
3 crosses, 3 men, but only one had the cure. The only one that had the remedy, and it was the one in the middle, and the man in the middle should have been me. I got to hurry. Watch this. It was a single tree. It was a revealed tree, but it was a miracle tree.
Yeah.
What's so special about this tree? Hey, folks, watch this. Listen to this. bitter water. Can I you know, help you a little? And around bitter water, it's poisonous water. Nothing grows around bitter water. Hallelujah. Nothing alive grows around bitter water. What was this tree doing here? You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything, the price of eggs in China? I'm fixing to tell you. In Matthew chapter number 1, there's a genealogy tree. And in that tree was a bunch of bitter water. You had harlots in there. You had a bunch of old sinners in there. I'm thinking this whole world is a bitter place. But there was a God in heaven that took the seed of the Word of God, planted it in the womb of the virgin, and it planted and brought forth a tree in the midst of bitter water. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. And that thing started growing and flourishing, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, full of the grace of the Holy Ghost of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that tree right there grew in the midst of bitter waters. Thank the Lord, me being a sinner, God took my place, grafted me into the tree, and now I'm a part of the tree because He's turned bitter waters into sweet. You can't get any sweeter than whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't get any sweeter than neither I condemn thee, go and sin no more. You can't get any sweeter than there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. You can't get any sweeter than that. Amen. A miracle tree. A perfect tree in the midst of an imperfect world. Sinless, perfect. But let me give you one more, or maybe two more, three more. Hey, hang on. Hold the phone. Don't hang up yet. That tree right there that God showed Moses wouldn't have done them bitter waters any good unless Moses went over there and wounded that tree.
Right. Yeah.
That tree's pretty as you please sitting right there. Wouldn't have done anybody no good until it was wounded. God said, Moses, go down there and cut that tree down. He cut that tree down. Stuck it in them bitter waters.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm just here to tell you, when Moses, I don't know if he had a little machete, I don't know if he had a knife, I don't know if he gnawed it down, I don't know what he did. All I can tell you this, all the trees I've ever seen, when you start cutting on them, they start oozing.
Yeah.
All I've ever seen is when you start cutting a tree, it starts oozing out of the tree. There's a substance in that tree that starts oozing out the tree. It's called sap. Y'all heard a message about that before. And it's sap. And that sap gets down into them bitter waters. Hallelujah. I think the Bible says something like this. The Bible says something like this, that Jesus Christ, about Romans chapter number 6, it talks about Jesus being submerged, immersed into bitterness and suffering and shame. We call it the baptism. No water. Baptism of suffering. And He's submerged. He's engulfed in the bitterness and the awfulness of this world. Isaiah 53 says this, for He grew up before Him as a tender plant, as the root out of a dry ground, had no form nor comeliness. And when you see Him, there is no beauty that you should desire Him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We did hid our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
They took that tree in bitter waters. Hallelujah. Watch this. I'm almost done unless I can think of something else. The bitter water turned sweet. You know what that means? That means whatever was in the tree got in the water.
Yeah.
And whatever was in the water got on him.
Right. Yeah.
He just took the tree down, and the tree just sucked all the bitterness and took it upon himself.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
And what was in him made the water sweet.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah. I'm enjoying my own preaching.
Amen.
That don't happen very often. I'm wondering how some of you take it. I'm enjoying this.
Amen.
Took that tree in that water, and that sap got into that water, made it sweet, and God says, I'll take all that bitterness. I'll take all that sorrow. I'll take all that disappointment. I'll take all of your grief and all of your sorrows, and I will take it and nail it to the cross.
Yeah.
Folks, some of you just need to do like Moses did and take your place under the tree.
Amen.
Take your place under the tree. I'm telling you. A substitutional tree. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Can I say this? I'm closing. It didn't take 30 days to make the water sweet. It didn't take 60 days to make the water sweet. It didn't take 90 days to make the water sweet. It happened just like that. Just like that. Ladies and gentlemen, when you cry out to God, it don't take him long at all. He'll save you. He'll take your grief. He'll take your anguish. He'll take your disappointment and your sorrow. He'll nail it to that cross. And ladies and gentlemen, you can walk away and drink in sweet water, sweet water.
Amen.
From the throne room of heaven. What makes a difference? A tree.
Yeah.
What makes a difference? A tree. You say, preacher, I heard the message. What do I need to do? All right. You need to do what Moses did, verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord.
Yep.
Amen.
Some of you, it's been a while since you just cried out to God. I know pride, you know, pride, you just have a hard time. You know, hey, I can do this, especially us men. We can do this ourselves. We don't need God's help. Listen, friend, you need God's help.
Amen.
You can't do it without him.
Amen.
You can't do it without him. And you can't do it without a tree. There has to be a tree involved. If you're going from no water to bitter water to sweet water, and then in verse 27, they come to a land that's got a bunch of water, 12 wells full of water.
Amen.
That's one for each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, and you can just drink to your heart's content. It'll never run dry, but not before they run up on a tree.
Right.
Had to be a tree involved. Some of you this morning need to take all that's what's bothering you, everything that's what's ailing you, everything that's what got you disappointed, been out of shape, whatever it is. I don't know. Whatever it is. I ain't got a clue. I got my own stuff to worry about. You just need to cry out to God and say, God, I need your help. Some have already started. They start, and you can come to the altar anytime you get ready. During the preaching, during the offering, during the singing, during the whatever. You can come before church even starts. Stay after church is ended. You can come anytime you get ready, and you come to this altar, and you get you some help. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, some folks in a situation of no water, maybe they're drinking bitter water today. Lord, take them to that tree planted by the rivers of water. Lord, I pray you'd help us today. God, would you please help us to cry out to you. Some are already gathered down here. Lord, please. There may be somebody in here that's not saved. They don't know you. They don't know you like we do. Some of us do. Lord, I pray you'd take them to the foot of the tree. They cry out to you. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, you help them today. Save them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Mark, just begin to play. Won't you come? You need to step out and come. Won't you come? Some are already coming. I sure am thankful for the tree. I'm glad for the tree. Oh, yes. How about you today? Say, preacher, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Won't you just depend on the tree? He was wounded for our transgressions. He bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. How about you today? Won't you come? Lay it all on the altar for him. Put it out there for him. Let him take care of it. Let God take care of it for you. Why don't you? Going through a wilderness? Yeah, I've been through them. That doesn't mean you're not saved. That doesn't mean that God don't love you. Won't you come today? Some help. Cry out to God. Let him help you. People are still praying. Sing this. So I'll cherish thee, O rugged cross.